Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
She sees her coming, and she thought she was going to stop, and she tried to avoid her by going to the left, but the crash happened.
A Moorhead woman is dead after a traffic car accident on Monday.
More than 20 cars were broken into over the weekend near Sharkey.
A man is in custody after shooting at a helicopter and police in Harrison County.
Moorhead state officials have requested new crosswalks in downtown Moorhead.
Members of the Kentucky National Guard are returning from Hurricane Irma rescue missions.
In sports, the Moorhead state men's basketball team is now set.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 60% chance of rain tonight, lows in the upper 60s. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Police in Moorhead are continuing to probe the circumstances surrounding a fatal accident that left a local woman dead. Captain Kyle Callahan says 42-year-old Shannon Huffman was killed around noon on Monday when her car entered the Kentucky 32 connector from the Pine Ridge apartment complex, and it was struck by an SUV driven by 74-year-old Sharon Fackler of Moorhead. Callahan says authorities are still trying to determine what could have caused the wreck.
It could be, you know, contributing factors. You know, I don't know if Ms. Huffman had a medical issue or, like I said, what we're leaning toward now is maybe a mechanical issue on her car due to the fact that we were, you know, things that we have found out that she had complained about her, I think the quote was, her brakes being soft.
Fackler suffered non-life-threatening injuries during the accident and was taken to St. Clair Regional Healthcare for treatment.
Authorities in Rowan County say a slew of vehicle break-ins hit three neighborhoods off 801 over the weekend. More than 20 cars near Eagle Trace, Dogwood Estates, and Ellington Loop had items taken, and some had windows broken. Rowan County Sheriff's Chief Deputy Joe Klein says the incident happened late Friday night or early Saturday morning.
There was approximately 20 vehicles that were broken into. Some of them were actually entered by breaking a window, and some vehicles were unlocked, and the individual or individuals went in and looked, appeared to be looking for things that they could take of some value.
The chief deputy says the sheriff's office has a few leads and they are working on. They have specially assigned Deputy Ruford Abner to investigate the cases. To provide a tip regarding these break-ins or any other illicit activity, call the sheriff's office at 784-5446. Your call may remain anonymous.
Four Moorhead residents were arrested Friday morning on charges of drug trafficking. Here's WMKY's Brian Courtney with the story.
The Moorhead News reports that Sheriff Deputy Donnie Hall was serving a warrant at the residence of 32-year-old Matthew Stevens on East U.S. 60. As he served the warrant, Hall observed drug use and trafficking in the house. A search revealed an undisclosed amount of cash, as well as heroin and methamphetamine. 62-year-old Richard Carpenter, 36-year-old Jessica Baldridge, and 29-year-old Brandy Bond were also arrested. All four were taken to the Rowan County Detention Center. Stevens, Carpenter, and Baldridge were charged with possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. Bond was arrested on a litany of charges, including trespassing and possession of burglary tools. For WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
Police continue to investigate after a Lewis County man was wounded during an alleged burglary attempt. According to the Lewis Sheriff's Office, 28-year-old Kenneth Flinders was treated for 25 buckshot wounds at a Portsmouth hospital after the incident at a Vanceburg residence. Flinders was reportedly shot by either Philip Caseman or his neighbor, Lane Rourke, after he was discovered in the backyard of Caseman's home next to his four-wheeler after a power outage. Police later found Flinders sitting with a female by a car. He told them that his car had run out of gas. After further questioning, authorities say he admitted that he was on Caseman's property to steal gasoline. Flinders is charged with third-degree burglary and first-degree criminal trespassing. Sheriff Johnny Bivens doesn't expect charges to be filed against either Caseman or Rourke.
A man is in custody in Harrison County today after allegedly shooting at a Kentucky Utilities helicopter. Kentucky State Police tell WKYT that Thomas Field Van Meter was captured early this morning near the area where they spent hours searching for him on Monday. KSP Trooper Charles Loudermilk says when the search was suspended Monday night, authorities were close behind Van Meter.
We are confident that we have the person that was the shooter at least contained within our perimeter, hopefully, and we're actively trying to close the gap to jump to him.
Van Meter also shot at three Harrison County Sheriff's deputies. Those deputies and the helicopter crew were not injured. Harrison County schools were closed today for safety concerns.
A Kentucky State Police trooper is in critical condition after crashing his car in South Central Kentucky. Haley Hansen has the story.
It happened on I-75 in Laurel County, where Trooper Houston Lewis called 911 to report he'd crashed his car. When emergency officials arrived, they found Lewis trapped inside of his car about 150 feet over an embankment and in the woods. The trooper was removed from the car and airlifted to the University of Kentucky Medical Center, where he's receiving treatment for his injuries. Police say no other cars were involved in the crash, and they're continuing to investigate what caused Lewis to drive off the road. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll have more of your local news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
An infrastructure engineering firm is looking to partner with the city of Morehead to mitigate flooding in the downtown area. AECOM is based out of Los Angeles. During a presentation to the city council last night, two representatives pinpointed the primary choke points that transform stormwater into floodwater. Megan Dunn is a mapping specialist with AECOM. She says flood insurance providers give discounts on premiums to policyholders that live in proactive communities.
Estimate flooding based on a 30-year annualized period. What does that mean? That means we can tell you within a certain degree of certainty the chance of you flooding at what depth at your home if you live near water.
Dunn says insurance providers use the CRS, or Community Rating System, to look into steps cities take to mitigate flooding and keep at-risk homeowners informed. Based on that criteria, homeowners can receive premium discounts anywhere from 2% to 30%, depending on their city.
As Morehead State University's construction projects continue to trundle along, school officials are asking the city of Morehead to install new crosswalks. Shayla Ring is the Marketing and Communications Director with Facilities Management. She says the crosswalks will protect pedestrians as they maneuver around construction sites.
What I'm proposing and asking from the City Council is to create a crosswalk from the Enrollment Services Center across 2nd Street so that students, specifically blind students that live off campus, can cross there safely.
She says the new student parking lot next to Mr. Gaddy's restaurant would need a crosswalk. Ring spoke at Morehead's city council meeting last night.
According to one official, those who fear Morehead will allow the unlimited sale of alcohol during downtown festivals shouldn't worry. City Council last year passed on ordinances allowing the selling of beer and other spirits at such events on a restricted basis in pre-designated areas that can be closely monitored. According to Downtown Morehead Incorporated Director Tony Pence, that won't happen at annual family-friendly events such as Arts and Eats and Hometown Holidays.
What we will do moving forward is events where you expect that to be happening, to do that there. Like, for example, if we had a Roots Music Festival downtown, and it's a new festival, and you expect the expectation to be there because you would let them know from the beginning.
During those festivals, Pence says distilleries and breweries will pay a $50 fee to the city to be allowed to offer their products in closed-off areas of Morehead's downtown. The first time that will likely happen is during next month's Pride Festival.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the city of Russell is finally upgrading its municipal water system. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
For the first time in 70 years, the Greenup County City is planning on updating its water system by replacing the old water tank. Mayor William Hopkins says the old tank has been in place since the 1950s. After rusting and deteriorating for several years, the city needs to install a new tank. The upgraded tank is rated for 1 million gallons and will cost the city between $400,000 and $500,000. Russell will finance the new tank with the help of a local bank. Hopkins says the upgrade is critical to the town's water system, which currently has around 4,000 customers. The new tank will likely be installed in either spring or summer of next year. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
A group of Kentucky's National Guardsmen returned to Louisville today following a successful rescue mission in post-Irma's Caribbean. WLKY reports that Lieutenant Brian Hunt and his cohorts helped rescue over 1,000 U.S. citizens from the island of San Martin.
It was the worst-case scenario as far as the storm goes, but the best-case scenario as far as a rescue standpoint goes.
Many guardsmen remain to assist hurricane relief in Florida and other parts of the Caribbean.
Lexington's controversial Confederate statues have a tentative new home. The Herald Leader reports the Lexington Cemetery is already home to the physical remains of Confederate leaders John Hunt Morgan and John C. Breckinridge, and the private nonprofit has now decided to accept the statues of the men. Mayor Jim Gray made the announcement yesterday after he visited the Cemetery Board of Trustees with Police Chief Mark Bernard, Reverend C.B. Akins Sr., and DeBron Thomas of the Take Back Cheapside movement. Gray says the city still needs to hammer out legal details with the Cemetery Board. He's in the process of putting together an endowment for the upkeep, maintenance, and security of the statues. Lexington City Council voted unanimously last month to remove the statues from Main Street, giving the mayor 30 days to find an alternative location. That deadline is this Thursday. The relocation still needs final approval from the Kentucky Military Heritage Commission.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says Governor Bevin's plan to cut state spending may be illegal. KNN's Will Clark reports.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says Governor Bevin's plan to reduce the state budget by $350 million is flawed.
One part of his plan may be premature. The other part is flatly prohibited under Kentucky law.
The premature part is due to a state law saying budget cuts can't be made until there's an official budget estimate, and then they're only limited to the deficit amount. The illegal part is using any of the money to fund the rainy day fund, which is what the governor wants to do. I'm Will Clark.
The Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Commission has recommended increasing the fee for most hunting and fishing licenses. A statement from the agency says the proposal calls for a resident hunting license to increase by $7 to $27 and a resident fishing license to increase by $3 to $23. A combination license would increase from $30 to $42. The panel also recommended increasing the fee for senior and disabled hunters from 5 to 18. If lawmakers approve the proposal, the new rates will go into effect next year. Commission Chairman Jimmy Bevins says periodic increases are necessary to keep up with inflation and costs of living. The agency, which manages more than 600,000 acres, is funded mostly through license sales and federal excise taxes from the sale of hunting and fishing equipment.
Taking a look at your region's weather forecast. For tonight, a 60% chance of rain showers with lows around 59 degrees. Tomorrow, 80% chance of showers with highs around 67. On tomorrow night, an 80% chance of light rain, lows around 58. And on Thursday, a 60% chance of rain, highs in the upper 60s. It's currently 70 degrees in Bloomingsburg, 73 in Ashland, 79 in Inez, 71 in Winchester, and 72 in Lexington. It's 73 degrees here in Moorhead.
The time is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Leanne Akers. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Moorhead natives living in southwest Florida are waiting to hear about the effect of Hurricane Irma on their home. Leanne has the story.
Kevin and Liz Hamm are grateful for their Moorhead family, who took the couple and 7-year-old Emma in during Hurricane Irma. When she found out Irma would hit Cape Coral, Liz Hamm says she was first concerned for her family's safety.
But then, you know, you're trying to weigh out, okay, what if the models are incorrect? What if it takes a turn? You know, we have jobs and school and a home to consider. you know, where will we go if we leave, which thankfully we have family that could take us in Kentucky. But it was just, it was very scary and very unnerving.
The family left the area on Wednesday afternoon, hoping to get ahead of the other evacuees.
We were trying to make it to Georgia. If we could just get to Georgia, to Atlanta, we thought we could get a hotel, we can rest, and then hurry, you know, continue on our way to Kentucky. But then we got to Atlanta and all the hotels are booked.
The drive took the family 28 hours instead of the normal 14. Ham says they're trying to look at their refugee status with a positive outlook.
We've just really taken the opportunity to reconnect with family and make memories and slow down. We prayed for our friend's safety, which everybody back in Florida is fine. I've touched base. You know, it's an unfortunate situation, but I feel like we've made the most of it. And I thank God for bringing good out of bad.
Ham says they're still waiting to hear about the condition of the home they rent and the possessions they had to leave behind.
We've been in touch with the property manager. They evacuated as well, but they said that from what they hear, it's just minor damage, if any at all, to homes. So everything is looking to be in good shape, but it is uncertain. I don't know if we have power at our house. I don't know if we have running water at our house.
Ham is uncertain about when they will return to their Florida home.
I'm thinking it's going to be a day or two yet before we try to make the trip. Obviously, millions of people were displaced, so they're all going to be trying to get back home. And I'd rather not take 28 hours to get back to Florida. So if we can avoid that, we will. And I, you know, feel like if a little more time passes, we can avoid gas shortages and hopefully have power and water.
For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 447 and 73 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Eagle Finance Presents the 25th Annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, today through Saturday at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds, US 60 East in Moorhead. More than 50 bands featuring Russell Moore and Third Time Out, Lonesome River Band, Grascals, Larry Sparks, John Anderson, Sam Kershaw, and more. Daily and weekend passes at the gate or by calling 606-784-2277 or online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Just like a set. Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State men's basketball schedule for the 2017-18 season is now set. With more, here's WMKY's Greg Jenkins.
The slate includes 14 home games and 14 road contests. The Eagles tip off the 2017-18 campaign on Thursday, November 16th against regional rival Marshall in Johnson Arena. MSU will also host Alice Lloyd, Kentucky Christian, and Central Arkansas. Additional non-conference battles include road trips to Xavier, Lipscomb, IUPUI, Virginia Tech, Central Arkansas, Northern Kentucky, and Butler. OVC play starts for the Eagles on the road at Tennessee Tech on December 28th, with all conference games being played on Thursdays and Saturdays. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Some notes from the NBA. The Los Angeles Lakers have announced that they will retire Kobe Bryant's jersey on December the 18th before the team's game against the Golden State Warriors. Both of Bryant's jersey numbers, both 8 and 24, will be retired. Two-time NBA All-Star Stephon Marbury announced on Instagram today that he has plans of an NBA comeback and plans on playing in the league this season. The 40-year-old Marbury has not played in the NBA since 2009. And the Golden State Warriors signed the largest of the new NBA advertising patch deals this week, selling the space on its jerseys for the next 3 years to a Japanese tech company for $60 million. Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier lacks the grit shown by starting quarterback Lawson Page during the Eagles' 58-17 loss last Saturday at Liberty. Tenier says the redshirt junior hung tough and showed great composure while facing a lot of pressure from the Flames' fast and athletic defense.
You know, it was hard. They were really shutting down the run, and so we're trying to protect with our running back, and we had some breakdowns, and he took some hits, and scrambled, took some hits, and he's a tough kid, and really proud of the way he came back and performed, and got some points on the board, threw a nice touchdown ball, and we're going to win a lot of games with that young man.
Against Liberty, Page completed 18 of 31 passes for 187 yards and a score. The 1-1 Eagles visit Austin Peay on Saturday in their final PFL tune-up. Even though his Wildcats are 2-0, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says they have a lot of cleanup work to do before Saturday's SEC opener at South Carolina. On the offensive side, penalties and bad snaps plagued UK during last weekend's victory over Eastern Kentucky. Stoops also notes that the work of his defense needs to be better.
There was position on the football. Our coverages weren't as precise as they need to be. We need to contest more passes, and we need to tackle better.
On special teams, Stoops says Kentucky's kick coverage will also require some tune-up before this weekend's game. Round County football coach Kelly Ford has learned a lot about his young and rebuilding Vikings during their three-game losing streak. Ford calls them fighters who just won't quit.
They keep fighting. We've gotten down early in every game, and they find a way, at least give us an opportunity at the end of the game. It's either going to make it interesting or for us to go for the win. We just hadn't got over that hump to pull the win in, but that's one thing about this team. I mean, there's a lot of love and fight and playing together.
The 1-3 Vikings will try to right their ship on Friday night as they entertain Bourbon County in the first-ever game on the new artificial turf at Paul Usley Stadium. One note from the NFL, Arizona Cardinals star running back David Johnson will have surgery on his left wrist and will miss 2 to 3 months of game action. After getting Monday off, the Reds are in St. Louis tonight to battle with the Cardinals at 7:10. 4-4 Robert Stevenson takes the mound for the Reds, while the Cardinals will counter with 10-7 Lance Lynn. The Cardinals, who have won 8 of their last 10 games, will look to stay hot and overtake the Chicago Cubs for first place in the NL Central during their three-game series with Cincy. One afternoon score from around Major League Baseball, Kansas City beat the White Sox 4-3. The Morehead State baseball team is getting ready to begin fall practices in the next few days. With 16 newcomers on his roster, Coach Mike McGuire says it's critical that MSU's veterans take time to show the young guys how things are done.
We've got a good group coming back that has good work habits and high expectations, and I think that they provide as a good example for our new guys, and are really excited about our incoming class. But you're right, none of them played at this level before, and so there's a pretty good learning curve.
Depending on the weather, the Baseball Eagles will have until early November to complete their fall practices. Finally in sports, the new turf at Round County's Paul Usley Stadium will host a girls-boys doubleheader tonight in soccer. The 6-1-1 Lady Vikings will meet Lawrence County at 6 o'clock, with the boys slated to take on Frederick Douglass of Lexington in Game 2. Coach Max Hammonds' Vikings are 6-4 this season, and according to Hammonds, their record is not what it should be.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we're getting, you can see little improvements here and there, but we're still a long ways from where we need to be come to the end of the season. So, I'm hoping from, here on out we can start improving each day and go forward and win most of our remaining games.
The kickoff for the Vikings boys soccer game with Douglas should take place at about 8 o'clock tonight. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer will open their OVC schedule at Jane Stadium by hosting Murray State at 7 p.m. this Thursday and Eastern Kentucky at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your Financial Markets Report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose as financials received a boost from rising yields, yet Wall Street also digested comments from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on tax reform, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 61.49 at 22,118.86. The S&P 500 closed at another new all-time high as it was up 8.37 at 2496.48, and the NASDAQ Composite also had an all-time closing high as it was up 22.02 at 6454.28. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 9-5 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield rose to trade at 2.17%, building on sharp gains in terms of the yield made in the previous session, and the yield also hit its highest level since September 1st. Financial stocks followed yields higher, with the financial select sector SPDR exchange-traded fund turning up 1.1% today, and all the major banks were very strong today in terms of their trading. Meanwhile, damage estimates stemming from Hurricane Irma that was once a Category 5 hurricane and is now a tropical storm were broadly lowered, and of course this helped the market out, in particular insurance stocks. Investors also set their sights on Washington after Treasury Secretary Mnuchin did say that he was, quote, hopeful that tax reform would be accomplished by year's end, adding that the administration is thinking about backdating reform to January 1st. Shares of Apple closed 0.4% lower, this after the company held its annual consumer products event where it unveiled three new iPhone models, including the iPhone X, which will cost $999, as well as an Apple Watch that doesn't need an iPhone to work. In the commodities markets, oil was up 20 cents, finishing at $48.27 a barrel. Gold was down 10 cents at $1,335.60 an ounce. Overseas, in Europe, stocks were up, with the Stock 600 index up about a half a percent. And in Asia, stocks were up as well, with the Nikkei up or 1.2% and South Korea's Kospi index up 0.25%. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Pfizer and Dow DuPont. The worst performers were McDonald's and United Health. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Gap and Range Resources, and the worst performers were Anthem and, once again, McDonald's. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 9 cents at $63.66, CSX down 15 cents at $51.92, AEP down $1.43 at $73.12, Marathon Petroleum unchanged at $53.75, AK Steel up 2 cents at $5.75, and Kroger was up 26 cents to finish at $21.60. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. Rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Turning to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight we'll see a 60% chance of rain showers, lows around 59 degrees. Tomorrow, an 80% chance of showers, highs around 67. Tomorrow night, an 80% chance of light rain continuing, lows around 58 degrees. On Thursday, a 60% chance of rain. We'll see highs in the upper 60s, and it'll clear up that night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, at the end of this work week, partly cloudy skies and warmer, highs around 78 degrees. It's currently 73 degrees in Ashland, 70 right now in Flemingsburg, 79 in Inez, 71 in Winchester, 72 in Lexington, and 73 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
Taking a look at some upcoming events in your region, First Christian Church at 227 East Main Street in Moorhead will hold a yard sale from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, September 16th. Proceeds will benefit several outreach programs supported by the church, including MSU Build-A-Bed, Youth Backpacks, and the Gateway Homeless Shelter.
The Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center is sponsoring a lung cancer and smoking cessation symposium on Friday, September 22nd at the Center for Health Education and Research in Moorhead. There will also be a fall pharmacy forum on Saturday, September 23rd at Carter Cave State Resort Park. Continuing education credits are available.
There will be a film screening of Far Above the Rolling Campus, a documented history of MSU, at 6 p.m. on Thursday, September 21st. The film will be presented on the second floor of MSU's Candom Carroll Library. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Sean Delaney, Brian Courtney, Cody Robinson, Logan Pemberton, and Braxton Howard. Kentucky News Network's Haley Hansen and Will Clark, and WUKY's Josh James. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.